My fellow Americans, I pose this simple question to you. Are you better off now than you were when this disappointing show began?
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And of course, the election is all-consuming. I'll tell you how all-consuming the election is. I'm going to wait until tomorrow to get irate about this $500,000 toilet in Ballard.
I know. During the break, I said, did you see that story?
No.
Cairo 7's reporting it. They're doing a great job.
Haven't we learned anything? Maybe I'm not going to wait
until
tomorrow.
It's less than the $5 million that the city spent on the self-cleaning bathrooms in Pioneer Square back in 2003. You remember those ones?
Super toilets. That's what they called those. You could build, if you already have the piece of land, you could build a 2,500 square foot house with three bathrooms, a full kitchen, three bedrooms. You could build a house for $500,000. That'd be $200 a square foot, a 2,500 square foot house. And we're proposing spending $500,000 on one bathroom for homeless drug addicts. They're not specifying
They're saying it's for the Ballard Commons Park Spray Park, which the health department has ordered the city to put a bathroom in within 100 feet of that park.
What's a spray park?
It's a water park.
It's like a kid's playground. A kid's water park.
Yeah, with water features.
Well, during the summer, it has the water.
So there's already running water there? Why can't you just pee in the spray?
Oh, gross. Stop it.
What? Yeah, we don't want anybody publicly urinating or defecating here in Seattle.
Certainly not where the kids are playing.
We want to make sure that none of that happens in our region, because right now nobody does that.
The water just gets recycled, and the kids play in it.
Put a filter in.
Discourage it. Well, it's chlorine. I think they put chlorine in the water.
Like we talked about yesterday.
It's just like a pool.
Just put a filter in.
I love the promotional video, though. It says its sleek design uses heavy-duty stainless steel. This might explain the $500,000.
Uh-huh.
With an anti-graffiti finish, along with louvers, lighting, and an outside hand wash to move people along and prevent crime.
But again, you could build a 2,500 square foot house with stainless steel appliances in the kitchen for under $500,000. Oh my goodness! Okay, I'm gonna research that, and I'll talk more about that tomorrow, since I just found out about it now. But let's get into the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
I played some of these cuts. So I have some new ones, too, that I have not yet played. In fact, the first one is when it was really funny. So this morning, I'm watching the President Trump press conference, and he starts doing something that I thought was so crazy. And I'm sitting, I do my show prep on my sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And often my phone, it's on my chest, it bounces between a cushion, and Trump started doing something that was so crazy, and I wanted to make sure Nicole was rolling on it here.
Doing something with how he was speaking or something with his hands?
Yeah, what he was talking about. I'm going to play the audio in just a moment here. But I wanted to make sure Nicole was aware of it and knew what time it came down. So I'm reaching for my phone, and as I pick it up, I get a text from Nicole that says, "Oh, man, are you watching this?" And it was unbelievable. And it's a lot of it was the press as instigators, and I'll play that too. But before he took questions, the president said something that was so crazy. It was just all unbelievable. So let me play that one first, because I haven't played this audio at all yet. So as the president is talking, before the questions came in, he starts talking about So off the top now? Okay. The cuts moved on me. The sound bites moved. So he starts talking about all the, and it's true. The people he went and campaigned for did really well. But there were a lot of candidates who didn't want anything to do with Donald Trump campaigning for them. And a lot of them lost. And so here is President Trump talking about the people he campaigned for doing well and the ones who wanted to keep him at arm's length doing poorly.
Andy Barr was fantastic. I went to Kentucky. For the most part, I didn't campaign for the House, but I did actually make a special trip for Andy Barr because he was in a very tough race in Kentucky, and he won. That was a very tough race. The polls were all showing that he was down and down substantially, and he won. And that one I did do, Pete Stauber of Minnesota, great guy, he's new, and ran a fantastic race. On the other hand, you had some that decided to, let's stay away, let's stay away. They did very poorly. I'm not sure that I should be happy or sad, but I feel just fine about it.
Just that line right there. So the Republicans who didn't want Trump campaigning, that was his line about them.
I'm not sure that I should be happy or sad, but I feel just fine about it. Carlos Cubella, Mike Kaufman.
So he starts naming all the Republicans who didn't want his help, who lost last night.
Too bad, Mike. Mia Love. I saw Mia Love. She'd call me all the time to help her with a hostage situation. Being held hostage in Venezuela. But Mia Love gave me no love. And she lost. Too bad. Sorry about that, Mia.
I mean, this is crazy. It's just crazy stuff.
Oh. And Barbara Comstock.
I'm surprised he didn't, well, except it was for the House, because Rossi
if
didn't
this
want.
If were anyone other than President Trump,
yeah,
would you think it was as hilarious?
I think so.
Really?
But there's, would I you? Mean, it's an impossible question because there's never been anyone even remotely like him.
I know.
But I find it hilarious. I find it absolutely that he went and named the people who didn't want him to campaign. Mia Love gave me no love. Come on.
I thought about that.
And Barbara Comstock was another one. I mean, I think she could have won that race, but she didn't want to have any embrace. For that, I don't blame her. But she...
what does that even mean? She didn't want any embrace, and for that, I don't blame her, but it sounds like you are blaming her.
You know, embrace.
He just doesn't blame her for not wanting a hug.
For that, I don't blame her. But she lost, substantially lost. Peter Roskam didn't want the embrace. Eric Paulson didn't want the embrace. And in New Jersey, I think he could have done well, but it didn't work out too good. Bob Eugen, I feel badly because I think that's something that could have been won. That's a race that could have been won. John Faso, those are some of the people that, you know, decided for their own reason not to embrace whether it's me or what we stand for. But what we stand for meant a lot to most people. And we've had tremendous support and tremendous support in the Republican Party among the biggest support in the history of the party.
Okay, so that's part of his opening statement before he took questions from the media. And then things got even, you know, much crazier after that. And part of it is, as I said, the media collectively was depressed about last night because they had this fantasy that not only would the Democrats take the House, which is what happened, but they had a fantasy that the Democrats would take the Senate. And instead, in not unprecedented fashion, but in very rare manner, the Republicans actually have added seats in the Senate, which is a really big deal because 2020 is when more Republicans are going to be up for re-election in the Senate. And a lot of analysis is that the Senate might now be lose-proof for the Republicans. And that means that if Trump is re-elected in 2020, and if he gets a couple more Supreme Court openings, And he has a Senate where many of the senators who won last night are beholden to him. That could be the single most long-term significance of last night, much more than the Democrats taking the House. And it's that the Republicans got so strong in the Senate that they may be bulletproof in 2020. And if Trump wins re-election, then the Supreme Court, which is something that has generational effect on our country, and is one of the reasons why Trump won in 16, because he said, here's a list of good conservative justices. And according to all the polling, that was a huge factor in why he won. But the media was depressed last night. They were just completely bummed out. And so going into when the president started taking questions today, here is the craziest encounter with Jim Acosta of CNN.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign in the midterms.
Here we go.
That this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President,
I consider it to be an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that.
Why did you characterize it as such?
I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election to try to keep
them? I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process.
Okay. Let me interrupt for a second. So Jim Acosta doesn't like that the president called it an invasion. But there's nothing unreasonable. He may disagree with him, but Acosta said, it obviously is not that. There are a bunch of migrants. And the president says, no, it's an invasion. If you have thousands of people who are heading towards our border with the stated intention of requesting asylum and getting a delayed court date and then being released into our country with no intent of ever showing up at that court date so they can live here as illegals, then the president calls it an invasion. Jim Acosta doesn't like that. But for Jim Acosta to say, you're wrong, I'm right, they're migrants, is just nonsense. And so the president actually gives him a decent answer on it before this thing starts to really devolve.
I want it to be a process, and I want people to come in, and we need the people.
Why
we need the people?
Just that alone. He's giving a reasonable answer, the president is, and Acosta interrupts him mid-sentence, which they never in a billion years would have done to Obama. But the disrespect from the press corps, because they're upset about the election results last night, it all manifested itself in this wild scene this morning.
And I want people to come in, and we need the people. You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
so on.
Well,
that's true.
They
weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
that. They weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. These were people. This was an actual, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question.
Okay, so then the president says, that's enough. Because he answered his question. And Acosta refuses. Acosta's holding his microphone. A young woman, looks to be early 20s, who's a White House staffer, it's her job to give the reporters the microphone when they ask their questions. President says, I answer your question, that's enough, and he goes to Peter Alexander with NBC. The woman goes to take the microphone from Acosta. He tussles with her. He pulls the microphone back from her. Doesn't tussle with her, but she grabs it. She has her hand on it. He yanks it out of her hand so he can keep talking after the president has answered Acosta's question and the president has gone on and called already on Peter Alexander from NBC.
Mr. President, if I may ask one other question.
So you hear Trump right there. Peter, go ahead. He's moved on.
That's enough.
Mr. President,
Pardon me, ma'am.
The staffer has her hand on the microphone. Acosta pulls it away from her so he can keep yapping. It really is one of the most disrespectful moments you'll ever see in a presidential press conference. And when I played this cut 2 hours ago, people said, well, it's because Trump disrespects the press. The press, the way they act like a bunch of children because they were upset that it wasn't more of a blue tsunami last night, and that's why they were acting like that this morning, that's a press corps that doesn't deserve respect. I've never seen anything like this.
Pardon me, ma'am. Ms. President,
that's enough.
Ms. President, I have one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have...
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Ms. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President...
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
Now Peter Alexander is going to jump in defense of Jim Acosta at CNN.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts his butt.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either, so
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question if I can. You repeatedly said...
You are the best.
Mr. President, you repeatedly, over the course of...
Okay, just sit down, please.
And you hear Acosta, he doesn't have the mic anymore, but you hear him yell out something about enemy of the people. It's way off mic, but listen to that.
Mr. President, you repeatedly, over the course of...
Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you
and then he says that's enemy of the people. That's why people send pipe bombs. So he's just screaming out stuff at a White House press conference.
Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead,
Mr. President.
Okay, now what hardly anybody knows is what I just told you. Because I haven't seen anybody else report this, that Jim Acosta off mic is yelling something about enemy of the people and pipe bombs, and hardly anybody heard that. And all they hear is Trump at the end saying, with your fake news, you are enemy of the people. But he was responding to what Acosta was yelling off mic. Listen to this one more time.
So let me ask you a question if I can. You are
the best.
Mr. President, you repeatedly, over the course
okay,
of...
Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead.
Mr. President.
So that was in response to Acosta yelling, are we enemy of the people? It was crazy. And look, what the president said about the Republicans who didn't want him campaigning, that alone was crazy in his opening remarks. But then you go from that and you add in an even crazier press corps. And whatever they think and say about the president, whatever they accuse the president of, this collective press corps is guilty of all of those things and more themselves. And they don't recognize their own insanity. And you combine it, and you have this volatile craziness that, as I said earlier, makes this a great time to be a radio talk show host when I get audio like that on a daily basis. And that is your big lead for this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Check the news for you, and then... our awesome audio of the day. I know what you just heard is tough to top, right? Straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. It is time when we like to count down on a crazy news day our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio, Clips of the Day.
And our Awesome Audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. And one of the things that we saw last night was, since the election wasn't the tsunami, I told you this last half hour, the media all wanted a tsunami, a blue tsunami. And it wasn't. The off party, the non-White House party, picked up fewer seats than the Republicans picked up when Obama was president in an off year. And they were very upset about that. And so last night, on those late night shows, like on Seth Meyers' show, he had on a guest And he had an interesting characterization of all Republicans in the country.
Number three.
No Democrat has ever gotten that close in Texas.
Yeah.
It's Texas! You know, and Beto's not going anywhere, and we had a really great night, and I think, you know, when Republicans win, they go celebrating in the streets, like racists start throwing like parades for themselves, and we're like punishing ourselves. But we had a really great night, so let's be happy for 5 minutes.
Wow, Republicans are all racist. Oh, by the way, speaking of Beto O'Rourke, I couldn't have cared much less about a Texas Senate race, but everybody else was obsessed about it. But ABC, Good Morning America, they were so depressed that Beto didn't beat Cruz that they're already pushing for him to run for president in 2020. This is crazy.
I know we're just getting finished with 2018, but 2020, and you talked to Beto O'Rourke about the possibility of running for president.
Yes, I asked him if there was a scenario where he would run for president in 2020 or beyond. He said, quote, no, punto, period. For what it's worth, Cruz told me he would be surprised if Beto didn't run. And as for Cruz, who famously ran during his first term, I said, will you serve your full term? He said unequivocally he will serve his full term. So a lot to be determined down here in Texas, Robin.
So while he lost in his home state in a bid for Senate, but the way the network spins it is, but maybe he'll run for president in 2020. It's just, it's crazy to watch the media. Speaking of the whole racist card, on Colbert's show, they were playing that card too.
Number two.
I mean, we saw over this weekend, Paul Ryan and others were begging Trump to stop talking about the caravan and about immigration and these kind of racist, xenophobic appeals that he was making that everyone was calling out. They wanted him to talk about the economy. And you noticed yesterday, he finally, in the last like closing hours, was like, the economy, very good. And then, you know, back to like racism and xenophobia again on stage with Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and Jeanine Pirro, like the four horsemen of the apocalypse on television last night. I mean, I think Trump wakes up tomorrow and says, I campaigned on racism, xenophobia, fear of the other, parent.
So saying that migrant mob shouldn't be allowed into our country unless they go through the proper channels. That's racist and xenophobic. PBS had a reporter at the press conference this morning.
Mr. President, Yemi Shalcender with PBS NewsHour. On the campaign trail, you called yourself a nationalist. Some people saw that as emboldening white nationalists. Now people are also saying
that
the president.
That's such a racist question.
There are some people that say that now the Republican Party is seen as supporting white nationalists because of your rhetoric. What do you make of that?
I don't believe it. I don't know. Why do I have my highest poll numbers ever with African Americans? Why do I have among the highest poll numbers with African Americans? I mean, why do I have my highest poll numbers? That's such a racist question. Honestly? I mean, I know you have it written down and you're going to tell me. Let me tell you, it's a racist question.
And Mr. President, I
love
ask...
You know what the word is? I love our country. I do. You have nationalists. You have globalists. I also love the world.
And then you have Nancy Pelosi with the strangest cheer of the night.
Number one.
It's about stopping the GOP and Mitch McConnell's assault on Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, and the health care of 130 million Americans living with pre-existing medical conditions. Let's hear it more for pre-existing medical conditions.
Yeah! Yeah! Pre-existing medical conditions! Yeah! Today's Science coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Crazy day. Absolutely crazy day. After the election and the president's press conference this morning. And this is a great time to be a radio talk show host. That's all I can tell you. Never better. I'm going to finish the show strong with today's edition.
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start in Flint, Michigan, where a young man was kidnapped. He got hold of his mom to tell her that he had been abducted and that she had to send money so that his kidnappers would release him. There was only one problem. He faked the whole thing so he could get drug money from his mom. Here's the county sheriff, Robert Pickle, explaining what happened.
We check all of the tapes, the surveillance footage, and we see the defendant, Jason, picking up the check himself and driving off in his own car. His son is extorting his mother, shaking her down because he has a drug problem and he needed the money for drugs.
So he told mom that she had to send $1,000 to his kidnappers. Jason Hillier was just flat out extorting his mom so that he could get his next fix. He arranged it with, and he's 40 years old, by the way, this son. We're not talking about a 17-year-old kid. It's a 40-year-old man who's extorting his mom so he could get drug money. But I'm sure he'll turn his life around anytime now. Today's science story number two, let's go to Florida State University, home of the Seminoles, where Shelby Shoup, a 19-year-old girl there, she was very unhappy that some college Republicans had set up a table on campus in a public area with some material in advance of yesterday's election. And she, this sounds like what a fun girl she would be to date in college. Because, you know, college time, you're just footloose, fancy free. Everything's fun. And I bet this girl is just an absolute blast to go out on a date with.
You're supporting Nazis. Do you understand that?
Communism?
Yeah, I am.
They killed way more people.
Don't pour your coffee on me.
Yeah, she's holding the cup, and she starts to make a motion like she's going to throw it on this guy because he is a different political party than hers. You know how tolerant and inclusive and welcoming liberals are, right?
You, I will.
And the Nazis.
What is wrong with you? Do you understand that fascism is here?
What is wrong with you?
Y'all understand that Nazis are f***ing here?
What is wrong with you, woman?
A Nazi was just elected for sale.
You're pouring coffee on strangers.
She just threw it. And did you hear that? He goes, you're pouring coffee on strangers. It's chocolate milk. like that's acceptable.
Wrong
Nazis are shooting
you're
my people.
Throwing milk at people.
Nazis are shooting my people. Right, I don't give a damn.
Nazis are socialists, by the way.
Nazis are not
National socialism.
National socialists.
This shows how stupid she is, because she loves socialists, but she doesn't understand that Nazis are socialists until the Republicans tell her about it. And then she tries to stumble her way through that one.
Oh, national socialists. Oh, my God. As if I don't know this is a
When she starts mocking you, that's when there's no argument left.
I like these college Republicans. They're just staying calm. They're just exposing her for the absolute whack job that she is.
Why do y'all always focus on the socialist part of that instead of the nationalist part of that? Why don't you realize that there are KPD, Communist Party, Socialist Party, in the German Parliament at the same time?
Can you leave?
In fact, I can, because I have class to go to, but I hope y'all realize that you are normalizing and enabling Nazis. And you can-
Again, because they are Republican students. Oh, man. It's weird. 19-year-old girls who are so brainwashed and consumed with hatred like this.
Tell me, I don't give a listen here. 11 of my people are f***ing dead this weekend. 2 black people are dead in Kentucky.
Yeah.
These are f***ing nationalist murderers that this normalizes. Do you really care?
Yeah.
Do you?
I have a jacket.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's,
I have a jacket.
Yeah, she is quite a darling. So 19-year-old Shelby Shoup, when officers arrived on the scene, they made contact with the victim who had had the chocolate milk thrown on him. And Shelby Shoup has now turned herself in to the police, placed in handcuffs, taken to jail, charged with battery for what she did to a kid. And again, it was because he didn't agree with her politically. Tolerant, welcoming, inclusive, diversity, as long as you think exactly like me. And then finally in today's sign, so you haven't seen someone for a while, and you run into them, you go, hey, long time no see. That's a saying that's been around for, I don't know, at least 100 years. I know back in the 1940s, 1950s, you had big bands did songs called A Long Time No See. The Andrews Sisters sang about, I think Glenn Miller had a song called Long Time No See. Then, in more recent times, bands like Cheap Trick have recorded songs with the same title, Long Time No See. Did you know that that phrase, long time no see, is no longer allowed in the minds of some social justice warriors? At Colorado State University, administrators have added the phrase long time no see as non-inclusive language. And that's because after the administrators met with Zahra Al-Saloom, the director of diversity and inclusion at Colorado State, they said that, oh man, they decided that the phrase long time no see is viewed as derogatory toward those of Asian descent. They've said that it kind of sounds like somebody who would mock Asians using the English language. Long time no see. And so that's been added to the list of derogatory language that's non-inclusive. Also on the list, you guys. The recommendation is that instead you say y'all. What are they, from Mobile, Alabama? Y'all? Now, you can't say you guys because that is not gender inclusive. Y'all would be ungrammatical, but that doesn't matter. We've got to be politically correct here. So don't use that phrase, long time no see, because you didn't realize it was derogatory until you heard it here on The Big Show. All that is, today's sign, the end is near, and I got to get out of here because I've said everything I have to say for today. But I will think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's Big Show. Ron Don Show is coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.